Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, March 17th, 2020, Psalms.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. That gives you the privacy of your priesthood. Gives you an opportunity to examine your own soul. Make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebounds the order of the day, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and for your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship with you and in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All the few that made it here on St. Patrick's Day. And St. Patrick wasn't even Irish. He wasn't Irish. He was a Scot. He was a Scot who became a believer in Scotland and grew up in doctrine in Scotland. Then he went to that God-forsaken place, Ireland, and evangelized Ireland. And he did. Ireland, thousands of people in Ireland came to know Christ as their Savior through Patrick the Scot. But nobody knows anything about that anymore. Nobody's interested in those kind of things about God or truth. And now all that St. Patrick's Day means is you have a parade in New York. All the Irish and anybody who wants to drink green beer marches down the street. But it's really sad. They canceled the parade this year, and the bars are closed. No green beer. To me, I don't know why you'd want to drink green beer anyway, but I don't even know why you want to drink beer. But anyway, happy St. Patrick's Day. I have been reading to you on this fabulous article, Voice of the Martyrs. Communism is not dead, is the title of it. And what I'd like to read to you this evening, the headline of it is All About Control. And that's what communism is, all about control. Realize that. We have socialism as taking over the Democratic Party. It's communism. It's all about control. And Americans are willing to give up freedom so that the government can dictate everything in your life. That's socialism. That's communism. It says, in the late 1970s, Deng Xiaoping had adjusted China's economic policies and begun to engage in the world economy. China continued to implement capitalist principles over the next two decades. They did so because communism was failed miserably. They were going in the tank. The only way they could survive was to use capitalist principles. They're a communist nation, but they, if anybody paid any attention, they admitted communism is a total failure. So they used capitalist principles over the next two decades to bolster its wealth and global image, eventually joining the World Trade Organization in 2001. Some Western leaders thought, now China's international business dealings would force its government to relax restrictions on human rights, including the treatment of Christians, particularly house church Christians. But doing business with the world has not forced communist power brokers to relinquish their control over the country's citizens. Communism is all about control. As China's wealth has grown, so has the government's ability to track, to monitor, and to control the Chinese people. And that will be employed by the Antichrist. Track, monitor, and control every person living in the world. Total invasion of privacy. What communism and socialism is invasion of privacy. To track what you do, monitor what you do, control. And that is one of the worst evils in the world. Invasion of privacy of the individual person. That is Operation Antichrist. That is Operation Communism. Recent crackdowns on the church in China have resulted in more arrests, more harassment, and Chinese believers are once again being forced to go underground. It's an underground church to worship Christ. Similarly, in the relatively tiny and economically weak nation of Cuba, little has changed for Christians in 60 years under communism. In the words of one Cuban pastor, the world has to understand that Cuba is still a communist country. The communist revolution resulted in no improvements. This is today. Cubans must still use ration books to purchase food. There is no private banking system. Even doctors earn only the equivalent of $40 a month. In typical communist style, the government inventories what each citizen owns. Total invasion of privacy. Inventories what each citizen owns. If a person has too much, the government confiscates it. Total control. It's one of the poorest countries in the world under communism. Communism and socialism is a total failure everywhere it's ever operated. Everywhere. And It's all about controlling the individual. Invasion of privacy. In addition to these economic hardships, the church in Cuba has faced ongoing persecution and harassment from the communist government. Cuban pastors have told Voice of the Martyrs that they know that the government plants spies in their church services. So the communist government plants spies in the church services, hoping to catch the pastors saying something that can be used against them. They ought to come to this church. I'm always saying something. They would have a heyday in here. Hoping to catch the pastor saying something that can be used against them. One pastor said a spy confessed that he had attended church with the intent of gathering evidence against the pastor. That was his whole objective for being there. He didn't come for Bible doctrine. And I've had people come in here too. Obvious. They didn't come here for Bible doctrine. That was his. I've been here for 43 years. I've been around the block. And I can spot that in a heartbeat. And I can spot arrogance and negative volition in a heartbeat. And there have been people who have come in here are not interested in Bible doctrine at all. In fact, most Christians today are not interested in Bible doctrine. Pastors are also routinely detained and questioned for hours or days at a time, and then fined and sent home. Some pastors even keep a bag packed so that they're ready for the next interrogation and arrest. And children of pastors are also targeted. One church leader's daughter was fired from her job in the medical profession and forced to leave the country as a way of pressuring her father and his Christian witness for him to leave Cuba. In addition, many students are refused diplomas. They're refused diplomas unless, now listen, they bow down before a statue of Che Guevara. To get a diploma, if they don't bow down before a statue of Che Guevara, no diploma. Che Guevara, the Argentinian Marxist revolutionary who helped Castro overthrow the Batista government. No legal Christian bookstores exist in Cuba. And no new church buildings have been constructed since the communist revolution in 1959. Existing churches face constant harassment, with the government cutting their electricity and water to their church buildings. This goes on 24/7 in communist nations. Cuba, China. And communism and socialism is all about control, invading privacy, monitoring every person, knowing everything you're doing. That is Operation Antichrist. That is Operation Satanic Evil. But I know Christians that do the exact same thing. Operation Antichrist. Psalm 23, verse 1. This little tiny psalm, 6 verses. But this little tiny psalm of 6 verses has about 6 years worth of doctrine in it. So maybe one verse a year. Psalm 23, verse 1, a song of David. The Lord is the one who keeps on shepherding me. I cannot and I do not lack for anything. Well, this is a shepherd, a former shepherd, David, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd. He understands totally about who and what God is, and he understands totally the grace of God. And that's what this entire psalm is, a psalm of grace orientation. David has maximum grace orientation. He knows that he is nothing. David knows he is nothing, and that Jesus Christ is everything. He knows that he's totally helpless, and this is the most helpless he's been in his entire life. A son whom he loved very, very much, Absalom, has formed a revolution. Got a lot of David's closest friends to join the revolution. Ahithophel, who was a very close friend of David, one of the top advisors in his government. Absalom got Ahithophel to join the revolution, and then many members of David's loved ones and David's friends joined the revolution and drove him from the palace. And a few loyal friends went with him, and they're out in the desert south of Jerusalem, and he writes Psalm 23. And this entire psalm is about maximum grace orientation. The Lord is everything. David knows he's totally helpless. He understands that the sheep are totally helpless, and he's a sheep. And he understands the shepherd, his responsibility, and all that he does for this totally helpless sheep. The Lord is the one who keeps on shepherding me. Here I am. I've been driven from power. I've been driven from the palace. I'm no longer the king. And who anointed David as king? Who had him anointed? Jesus Christ. Saul was still the king at the time, but the Lord Jesus Christ had rejected Saul. Saul hadn't died yet, but he was in the process of dying the sin unto death. Maximum divine discipline. So the Lord Jesus Christ tells Samuel, I've chosen someone else to be the next king. He won't be king immediately, but he will be the next king. So you go and anoint him as the next king. He was only 15 years old when he was anointed to be the next king. So he went to the house of Jesse and thought Eliab was the man, the oldest son, tall, dark, and handsome, military man. But just because you're in the military doesn't mean you are a mature believer. Eliab was a believer in the military and an arrogant reversionist. It wasn't Eliab. It wasn't the rest of the brothers. It was the 15-year-old youngest son, David. And the Lord told Samuel, man looks at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. And in that young man's heart is Bible doctrine. Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. In his heart, he loves God. He loves the Father. He loves Jesus Christ. He loves Bible doctrine. And that's why he's the one I chose. So he was anointed. Samuel anointed him. Jesus Christ said, this is the one. Anoint him. He did. And immediately he was empowered by God the Holy Spirit. That's the endowment of the Spirit. There was no indwelling of the Spirit in the age of Israel. No filling of the Spirit in the age of Israel. But an endowment of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came upon him. He was endued, empowered by God the Holy Spirit right then at 15 years old. But he didn't become king until after Saul died. But God had already said, this is my man. I chose David. The people chose Saul. God chose David. And now, the Absalom Revolution, they're trying to remove God's choice for king. And they won't succeed. They won't succeed. They will fail. And in God's amazing grace, He will bring David back into the throne, back as king of Israel. The revolutionaries die the sin unto death. His son. And David had phenomenal virtue love. And even though his son was a reversionist, and even though his son was responsible for throwing David out of the palace as king, David loved him with virtue love. And he instructed his men, do not kill my son Absalom. He gave direct orders, don't kill him. And he was treating his son with impersonal love. Fantastic virtue love. But that wasn't God's plan. God is the one who killed Absalom. Sin unto death. Absalom was riding his horse and trying to escape. And he got his flowing locks caught in a tree. Pulled him off the horse and snapped his neck and he was dead. God judged Absalom. And it was the sin unto death. It broke David's heart. It was his son. And he loved his son. And he loved him with virtue love, even though his son threw him off the throne and was trying to kill him. But he wasn't trying to kill his son. And David would restore his king. Not only restored his king, but given more blessings than he ever had before. Because David is man, is God's choice to be king, not man's. He was God's choice. And so David writes this amazing psalm. The Lord is the one who keeps on shepherding me. I cannot and I do not lack for anything. And this is includes the phenomenal concept of logistical grace. David has maximum grace orientation. This whole psalm teaches that David has maximum grace orientation. That's one of the problem-solving devices David has on the forward line of troops in his soul. He has all ten forward line of troops in his soul. And the one that is centered in writing Psalm 23 is the problem-solving device of grace orientation. And so we've been studying that. We saw in Deuteronomy 33:27, protection, logistical grace provides protection in time of disaster and great adversity. Underneath of the underlying arms. We saw the biblical definition of logistical grace in 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. That always having a sufficiency in everything, logistical grace support. You may have an abundance in every good work. Now, what is every good work? Every good work, in the context, is grace-giving. If your mental attitude is right, then God will provide for you to give. In fact, we are really God's stewards with His money. I don't know what you have by way of money. But whatever you have by way of money or material things, it's not yours. It's God's. It's His. He gave it to you. It's not your money. You're a steward of God's money. He gives it to you. So we are really God's steward with the money that He gives to us. And how is God able to make all grace abound in giving us things? Logistical grace. Down that grace pipeline from justice to imputed righteousness. But I want you to note that this sufficiency is not qualified by occurring only in times of prosperity. You have a sufficiency in all circumstances, including maximum historical disaster. There is no historical situation or circumstance to which this does not apply. Now, you might be viewing a historical disaster worldwide with the COVID-19. When I first saw COVID-19, must be a video. And it's on channel 19. There is no historical situation or circumstance to which this does not apply. And then in Psalm 37:25, David gives the testimony of old age to logistical grace. He says, once I was young and now I'm old. He was only in his 60s, but he says, I am old. But I've never seen the righteous go hungry. And then the testimony of David and at the lowest point of his life, driven from the palace by his beloved son Absalom. Psalm 23. It's impossible for anyone who has imputed divine righteousness to lack anything, because the justice of God sends life support and blessing to all believers. Grace depends on God's integrity, not ours. You do not fear anything when you're oriented to grace, logistical grace. As long as you live, God will pursue you with grace. And then we saw the testimony of Paul, Philippians 4:19. And then the testimony from our Lord is addressed to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9. And then the testimony of the prophet Jeremiah in Lamentations 3:20-25. Lamentations 3, verse 20, which says, I will remember them, and my soul is humbled within me. Yet this I call to mind from the memory center of my heart, and therefore I have confidence. Confidence is the result of wisdom. It's the result of metabolized doctrine in the soul. Because the Lord's great mercies never cease. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, and therefore I have confidence in Him. The Lord is good to those who trust in Him, to the one who seeks Him. And therefore it is good to wait quietly for the deliverance of the Lord. Now who wrote this? Jeremiah. When did he write it? Right before the fifth cycle of discipline on the southern kingdom. God is bringing maximum judgment on the southern kingdom. And he wrote Lamentations. And he didn't have very many people in his Bible class. Most of the believers in the southern kingdom hated Jeremiah. They hated him because he kept talking about the holiness of God and judgment coming. That God was going to bring a nation and destroy and the survivors would be taken as slaves. And he kept teaching this, and they hated him. They wanted to kill him. They tried to kill him. But he did have a few people in his Bible class. Ezra's father was one. And Ezra's father learned logistical grace from Jeremiah. And he was one of the survivors. And he was a communicator of Bible doctrine. And he applied logistical grace and taught logistical grace to the Jewish survivors as they made that death march to Babylon. And even as they marched to Babylon, enslaved under the fifth cycle of discipline, the Jews are reminded every morning that they wake up, that God is giving logistical grace to them. Since they are still alive, God has a purpose for their lives. The Jews failed spiritually. They failed God so that the nation has fallen. And yet the faithfulness of God never changes. His logistical grace continues to provide for them in disaster. The Lord, you see, becomes very important to many believers in times of disaster. Some people are viewing the coronavirus as a time of disaster. For many, many, many years, we've been going out to Indian Springs. They've invited us. They've invited our evangelism team to come out and give the gospel. And we've been doing that for years and years. And it's a small community, but they all come. The adults and the children, they all come. And the gospel is given. And they want us to give the gospel. And we've been doing that over and over again. Now, because of this coronavirus, there's a question that they might not allow it. And then the person who's in charge of inviting us out said, well, we're just praying and praying that with this disaster that's going on, that it will cause people to turn to Christ. That they will seek Christ. And certainly, sometimes that is true. And maybe that will be the case. God is trying to get the attention of the entire world. He's certainly trying to get the attention of the United States of America. And it's interesting that in these kinds of times, the Lord becomes very important to many believers during times of disaster. But then, in times of prosperity, the Lord isn't nearly as important to these same believers. For those who seek the Lord and trust in Him through the use of the 10 problem-solving devices, they will have a fantastic and magnificent life. Logistical grace is the basis for the perpetuation of the believer's life in time, no matter what disaster may come. God sustains the life of every believer on planet Earth in spite of satanic opposition, in spite of the policy of evil, in spite of opposition from others, and in spite of our tendencies, our own tendencies for self-destruction. Yet God keeps us alive in spite of ourselves and in spite of others. And that is logistical grace. So, principle, logistical grace keeps the believer alive. And nothing can take you out of here till God says, now. He has to permit it. If He doesn't permit it, nothing's taking you out of here. Nothing. Not even COVID-19. So, one, no believer can live on this earth apart from logistical grace support. No believer can live on this earth apart from logistical grace support. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. No believer can live on this earth apart from logistical grace support. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2:14. Since the children have flesh and blood, who are the children? Mankind, human race. Since the children, mankind, have flesh and blood, that is true humanity, he, I haven't even reached puberty yet. Yeah, I better get there pretty quick. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, he too shared in their humanity, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, so that by his death, he might destroy him, Satan, who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Held in slavery by their fear of death. You know, one of the greatest enslavements in life is fear of death. Going on right now. Going on right now all around the world. Two, logistical grace plays a fantastic role in keeping both winners and losers alive. Logistical grace plays a fantastic role in keeping both winners and losers alive. Psalm 33, 18 and 19. Turn over to Psalm 33, verses 18 and 19. Verse 18, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. This is category 2, fear of the Lord. This is occupation with Jesus Christ. Occupation with Christ. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. Occupation with Christ. On those who wait with confidence in his unfailing grace. Wait with confidence in his unfailing grace. This is David. He is waiting with absolute, total confidence in the unfailing grace of the shepherd, Jesus Christ, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in economic disaster. When you see the word famine, that's economic disaster. To deliver them from death and keep them alive in economic disaster. Turn over to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Psalm 56 is a psalm by David. David is the author of Psalm 56. Verse 12. I am under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. You have delivered me from death. To walk with God in the light of life means you know all about grace, logistical grace, your orient, maximum grace orientation, so that you appreciate it and you live your life by it. You live your life by this maximum grace orientation. You know you cannot lack anything. The shepherd taking care of you. We're sheep. We're totally helpless. And the shepherd has us in his hand. Turn over to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verses 8 and 9. Psalm 116, 8 and 9, verse 8, "For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living." So logistical grace plays a fantastic role in keeping both winners and losers alive. 3. Under logistical grace, God can and does prolong life. Under logistical grace, God can and does prolong life. Psalm 79, verse 11. Psalm 79, verse 11. "May the groans of the prisoners come before you, and by the strength of your arm preserve those condemned to die." Turn over to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Verses 19 and 20. And Psalm 68 is a psalm of David. Psalm 68, verse 19. "Praise be to the Lord, to God, our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who delivers." Selah. "Our God is a God who delivers. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death." Psalm of David. Under logistical grace, God can and does prolong life. Under logistical grace, God preserves us from death. So, logistical grace includes 6 categories of support. Logistical grace includes 6 categories of support. First of all, life-sustaining support is provided by God. Life-sustaining support is provided by God. God sustains the life of every believer on earth, and no believer can depart from life apart from God's will. No believer can depart from life apart from God's will. And therefore, all the forces of hell cannot remove one believer apart from God's permission. All the forces of hell cannot remove one believer apart from God's permission. So God provides all that it takes to support life. Psalm 48, 14. You see, this is what we're studying? What we're studying in Psalm 22? What we're studying in logistical grace and grace orientation? This is what every believer in this country and around the world needs to know and be learning right now. There's nothing more important, being taught anywhere, any place, than what's being taught right now and what's going on in the world. Psalm 48, verse 14. "For this God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide even unto death." In Lamentations 3, 21 to 26, which we looked at. And here they are on the death march to Babylon. And every single day, mourning, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Every morning they got up. They saw logistical grace, logistical grace, logistical grace. Kept them alive one more day, one more day, one more day. Kept them alive until they got to Babylon. Kept them alive in Babylon. Then Babylon fell. The Chaldean Empire fell. And the Medo-Persian Empire took the Jewish survivors. And logistical grace kept them alive day after day after day in the Medo-Persian Empire. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Two, temporal needs such as food and shelter, clothing, transportation, time, a job, all these things are provided by God. So temporal needs are provided by logistical grace. Six categories of support. This is category number two. Category number two, temporal needs. That includes food, shelter, clothing, transportation, time, a job. These are all provided by God. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus." My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Third is security provision. Security provision. Your security is from God. Your security is from God. And what is included in that? Well, He's assigned a guardian angel to you. Every church-age believer has been assigned a guardian angel. You have a guardian angel. Have you said hello to him? I know the first time I learned that, I thought that was the coolest thing. First time I learned that, Bethany Bible Church, Pastor Breckel taught that. I was blown away. I've had this guardian angel assigned to me. I didn't even know it. I haven't even said hello to him. And all that's going through my mind, and I'm taking a shower, and I'm thinking about it in the shower, and it just overwhelmed me. I go, I haven't even said hi. I go, hi, guardian angel. In the shower. And there was a guy in the shower next to me going, what? Olson? And that got around. Olson's talking to angels in the shower. We knew he was weird, but now we know for sure. You got a guardian angel. You don't even have a clue as to how many times he's saved your bacon. That would be your butt. And the provision of the laws of divine establishment so that you have freedom. The key in a nation is freedom. Freedom to advance to spiritual maturity. That's what the laws of divine establishment are designed for, to protect your freedoms, not to take them away. Socialism and communism takes your freedoms away from you. Controls you. Third, if you're positive to Bible doctrine, God provides the security for you to make that advance. And that is the wall of fire. God provides the security for you to make that advance. The wall of fire. You have a wall of fire around you. 1 Peter 1. Turn over to 1 Peter 1. See, this is security. Logistical grace includes security provision. First Peter 1, verse 3. Praise be, or worthy of praise and glorification, the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in His great mercy, grace and action, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power, shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed. Security. Shielded by God's power. Security provision. 4. Spiritual riches. Are provided by God. Spiritual riches. This includes your portfolio of invisible assets, the primary assets, election to privilege, predestination, which gives us all equal privilege and opportunity to glorify God to the maximum. The 2 royal appointments as a royal priest to represent yourself before God. And with Jesus Christ as our high priest and the altar of Bible doctrine, you can offer spiritual sacrifices to the Father, praise and thanksgiving and divine good production and grace giving and humility and intercessory prayer. Secondary assets of maximum divine good production, which glorifies God to the maximum. Personnel assets of a spiritual gift that puts you on the team and defines for you God's plan for your life in the short time while you're here. These are spiritual riches provided by God under logistical grace. Portfolio of invisible assets. The 10 problem-solving devices. And that's coming up. That's coming up in Psalm 23. We get to verse 5. The unique factors of the church age. Doctrinal teaching from the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. Privacy. The privacy of the priesthood and security necessary to maintain positive volition. The royal family honor code. The discernment to see distractions. Where do the distractions come from? The temporary ruler of this world, and he's got a whole system of distraction called the cosmic system. But you have the discernment to see those distractions and avoid them, set them aside. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. You could teach Ephesians 100 times and you would always have something more to learn from Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Worthy of praise and glorification, the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ephesians 1, 3. Spiritual riches provided by God. 5. Blessings are given to every believer, both losers and winners. Now, these are logistical grace blessings. They're not to be confused with greater grace blessings, which are far, far greater. These are logistical grace blessings for winners and losers. Greater grace blessings are for winners only. And God preserves us from death. Now that brings us to the logistical grace rationale and the not to worry passage in the Word of God. See, I was really counting on Harlan being here tonight, see? Because he's the one who's always saying not to worry, not to worry. And so here is this not to worry passage, and he's not here. So I'm not teaching it. I'll save it for next week. We'll have the not to worry passage next week. If he's not here next week, I'm going over to his house and shooting him. I'm not kissing him, because whatever he has, I don't want it. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you for your grace, sir. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.